ask your continued interest in your prayers as we study Psalm 23 tonight. You know, I guess libraries full of books have been written about Psalm 23. And we could spend all night and still have many things about Psalm 23 we haven't touched on, because it just is such a beloved psalm. But we're going to try to hit some high spots tonight. And what I've used, you may notice here, there's a popular writing by an unknown author which identifies the virtues that are expressed by the various phrases of Psalm 23. As we study this beloved Psalm of David, we'll consider those virtues along with some other related scriptures that comfort us. The psalm, the title I've given here is What Our Shepherd Is for His Sheep. You know, the scriptures oftentimes speaks of God's people as being the sheep of His pasture, especially Psalm 100 speaks of us in that light. What if we were just like the sheep of a pasture, and then everything that happened was just circumstance and chance? It would be a frightful place to live, wouldn't it? But thankfully, we don't have to live that way. We do have a shepherd. Best shepherd that could, sorry to say, be imagined, but he's way beyond that, isn't he? Do we get up in the morning mindful of the fact that our shepherd's watching over us? We should. I encourage you to do that. It'll help your day. You're not by yourself. The Lord's watching over us at all times. All right, Psalm 23, a psalm of David. I think everybody understands that, don't they? All right. But while David was the penman, the Lord inspired these words. Lord is my shepherd. Relationship. Just as sheep do not choose their shepherd, that doesn't happen, does it? Neither did we choose ours, and aren't you glad? But thanks be to our Lord, He chose us. I put the scriptural reference of Ephesians 1 and 4 there. Hopefully you know what that says without me including the text. Can you tell me what Ephesians 1 and 4 says? According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That takes it way back there, doesn't it? Before we had a choice in the matter, before we messed it up, the Lord already took care of us. I tell you, the more we understand about how the Lord has already taken care of us, the more we have to rejoice in our shepherd. All right, so thanks be unto the Lord, He chose us and established that inseparable relationship with us. Now, Romans 8, 38, 39, where it goes through a long list of things, but says that we can never be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, that's comforting. That not only He's established the relationship, we're preserved in Christ Jesus, and nothing can ever sever that relationship. Now, there can be things that will hinder our fellowship, but nothing will ever destroy the relationship. He is our shepherd. Always will be. Don't you? Isn't that a wonderful thought? All right, so He established that inseparable relationship with us. in Christ before the foundation of the world. And although we did not deserve it, by His grace we are the happy recipients of it. Aren't we? Aren't we happy about that? I sure hope so. Because we've got every reason in the world to be happy about that. All right. And we ought to look like it. You know, as we go through our day, it ought to beam from us. All right. We're the happy recipients of it. Therefore, this relationship began in the foreknowledge of God. When He knew us, Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, okay, them He also did predestinate, all right? And also 1 Peter 1 and 2, all right? Elect according to foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, through obedience and sprinkling of the blood. The reason I put these in here, because these are principles that the Scriptures teach us that you don't hear this just everywhere, but it is plain that the Bible sets forth God took care of this relationship for us. We didn't have sense enough to do anything about it ourselves. And when I say that, what I mean is because of the fallen nature of man, man has no ability and no desire to seek after God. But thankfully, before man fell, God had already purposed what He would do. We can rejoice in this relationship God has established with His elect family. All right, and not only did He establish it, but it's personal. He didn't just say, well, I'm going to choose out 45 billion people. It's personal. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God. We're talking about the purpose of God. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Now notice how he put that. Them that are His. He didn't just mean those that were His at that particular time, but all of them that are His. They already were His. You know, when Paul wrote that, there were millions of God's people hadn't even been conceived yet. And since He hasn't come yet, then it's very likely that there's more of God's people that haven't yet been born. But still, they already are His. Now, isn't that, when we understand God's way, we understand what God has done, isn't that so much better than leaving it up to you? You know, the vast majority of Christianity today has to sit and listen to somebody saying, now, sinner, it's up to you. God's done all that He can. He wants to save you, but He can't unless you accept Him. Now, I don't mean that to be critical. I'm simply stating a fact. The vast majority of Christianity hears that on a regular basis. But that's not what the Bible says. So we can rejoice tonight that He's blessed us with eyes to see and ears to hear the truth of His Word. He's established that relationship. We're preserved in Christ. It's personal. He knows us individually. All right, and loved us in such a way that it can never be taken from us. We've already discussed that. Now, that's a relationship that is amazing. Only God could look down through time and know us personally. You know, it's not a matter of foreseen faith. It's not a matter that He looked down through time and saw who was going to accept Him, although that we hear that a lot in the world. It's a matter of Him choosing a people, knowing them individually, and in time He will send His Spirit into our heart and quicken us and bless us to know Him. Isn't that wonderful? That's amazing. And yes, we do have a very personal Savior. All right, I don't have any problem with that expression at all. He is personal, isn't he? All right. Not a moment of time when he has not known you and loved you. I'm not saying he's loved everything you did, but I'm saying if he set his love upon you, it's fixed. You're his. You'll always be his. And since you were conceived, he has been watching over you. He's known your needs, and he's been ably caring for you. Now think about that. If you're his, even before we knew him, he knew us. He was watching over us. He was caring for us. Well, I tell you, we have a wonderful shepherd. And so he says, I shall not want. Now let's make sure we get that right. The way we use the word want today is very different most of the time than what this means, isn't it? Okay? This obviously speaks of us never having any lack of what we need, because there's never any lack of desire for things. You know, we want lots of things, don't we? In the sense of desire. But as far as the need is concerned, there's a lot of things that we want that we don't really need. We just want them. Okay? But this is speaking in the sense of our need. I shall not want. This speaks of our supply. As Paul said in Philippians 4:19, same sense that David means here. Paul said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do we believe that to be a true statement? Will he really do that? My God shall supply all your need. That was David's statement, I shall not want. And do we trust him each day to be faithful to his word? See, we're examining portions of his word tonight. And words have meaning. And if they're not faithful, then it doesn't matter what they mean, does it? But do we trust that what God has said, he will do? His word says, Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our shepherd. Now, will he do that? Are we going to rest in that? Are we going to be anxious about it until he does it? Possibly. But I tell you, it'll help if you'll just think about your shepherd. If you'll think about how wonderful he is, how glorious he is, and how he knows our needs better than we do ourselves. We also find that King David declared late in his life, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What a wonderful testimony. Some of you have been at this for quite a while. Have you had the same experience? So can you say with these saints that the Lord and that your Lord and shepherd has always been there for you through all the uneven scenes of life? Life is that way, isn't it? It's full of hills and valleys. Now and then, we haven't sung it lately, but we have a song called Mixtures of Joy and Sorrows. I daily do pass through. I like that song because it aptly describes the way life is. If we were always on the mountaintop, we'd be spoiled rotten, wouldn't we? And if we were always in the valley, life would be mighty hard. And even with the mountaintops and the valleys, sometimes life gets hard. But wouldn't you say that even when that happens, it helps us to see our shepherd better? Reminds us he's there. He cares for us. All right, so now, not that we've not had to face difficulty or never missed a meal, but our Lord has lovingly supplied all our needs. For you and every one of his elect family, your shepherd is the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. I used to think that was just a way to refer to the Lord. But it's actually one of the names of God. It has rich meaning. We've spoken about this before. That Lord of hosts means that he's a God of endless supply. And that's what we're talking about here. I shall not want. God will supply our need. Paul said he will supply all our need. Okay? And he knows what it is. Aren't you happy to leave it in his hands? All right? So he's the God of endless supply. I put some references here. I don't know that we'll take the time to look them up. Maybe you can do that later. The first one was when Hannah was praying for a child. Praying to the God of endless supply. And what did God do? The prophet Samuel. The Lord gave her the prophet Samuel from that prayer. And Brother Jim was talking about some experiences that his family's going through with shepherd. I think about Hannah, how she went so long without a child and got to the place where she wanted a child so bad she was willing to, if the Lord would just give her that child, that she'd give it back to the Lord. You know, if she'd gotten the answer to that prayer a whole lot sooner, I don't know that she'd have been willing to do that. And by her being so fervent in her prayers and the Lord blessed in such a mighty way, that resulted in a tremendous blessing for the whole nation. You reckon it's time for us to do some unselfish praying? Real praying? All right? And then Isaiah 6:3 mentions the Lord of hosts when Isaiah had that vision of the Lord. Those seraphim said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth," they said, "is filled with his glory." We're talking about the God of endless supply. Don't you think that he's able to take care of your needs? Because he's the God of endless supply. No wonder David could say, "I shall not want." Of course, Isaiah 9:6-7 is a prophecy of the Lord. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The government shall be upon his shoulder." Aren't you glad that the government is upon his shoulder? "And of the increase of his kingdom there shall be no end." Ah, the Lord of hosts mentioned in that. You know, you look at the way things are in our country today, without dragging you into all that kind of stuff, but just the fact that how sustainable is this going to be for very long? whether men push it to the point where it's not sustainable for them, or whether the Lord said, that's enough. You know, you have to wonder, don't you? That's why we need to be looking at our shepherd. Let the trials of this life cause us to cling more tightly to our shepherd. It's what we need anyway. He's the only one that can help our situation. He's the only one that can help us. Let's be looking to him. All right. Verse 2. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. What would that be for a sheep? You know, instead of having to nibble on some stubble when he can find it, he's in green pastures. Boy, talk about supply. It is the Lord who enables us to rest contentedly with the blessed provisions he's given us in this life. Now you think about that for a minute. If we didn't have his spirit, do you think we'd ever thank him for anything? Would not. If we didn't have his spirit, if we didn't have the enabling of the Spirit of God in us, we wouldn't appreciate anything that God is or what he does. That's what he's talking about with this making. You know, we're not robots. He doesn't just make us do this and make us do that. But he, by his Spirit, he enables us to know him, to know what he does for us. All right? So, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It is the Lord who enables us to rest contentedly with the blessed provisions he gives us in this life. Unless they're fearful and anxious, sheep will lie down and rest after their grazing. If they're fearful and anxious, they won't even eat. But with the kind of shepherd we have, we can eat and we can lie down and rest. Are you fearful? Are you troubled? There are plenty of things in this world that cause us to struggle and to be anxious. But the best remedy is to look to the Lord. Cast your burdens to the Lord, the poet said. Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It's nice to have a friend. It's nice to have someone that you can share your burdens with in this life, but it's even better to call upon the Lord and unburden all your complaints unto him. He knows them anyway. All right, but these green pastures indicate what's needed for life and growth. So for God's sheep, see, we're talking about a spiritual lesson here. He's given us the natural comparisons, but let's apply it spiritually. For God's sheep, we're not just talking about natural food, but food for their souls. God's sheep needs God's words in order to be nourished and strengthened from day to day. Isn't that what we need? I understand that prayer is a wonderful blessing as well. Through prayer and communion with God, it nourishes our souls as well. But the substance of what we need is the Word of God, because there's where we find his promises. There's where we find his glory. There's where we find his mercy and his goodness and all those things that his word speaks of that he's chosen to reveal to us. we need that word to strengthen us from day to day. They must take time to feed on that nourishment. I know that's a simple statement, but isn't it a true statement? You got to take time to feed on it. You know, you can think about the Lord all day long, and He's not going to open up your head and put His word in there. If you've heard it, if you remember it, you can meditate upon it. But to get more of it, you got to get your nose in the book, right? And what a wonderful book the Lord has given us to learn of Him. This is the only way to find that blessed rest in Him. Jesus said He was the true bread from heaven. Remember that? John chapter 6. And later He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." When David said, "He maketh me to lie down," he's speaking of how the Lord, it is the Lord who enables us to see Him, know Him, come to Him and learn of Him, and to feed on His words. The Lord, by His Spirit, giving us eternal life, giving us His Spirit, giving us spiritual faculties, the Lord enables us to feed on His word. So may our confidence in Him be so settled that we, as the sheep of His pasture, come regularly to satisfy our souls on the green pastures of His words. Our souls need it every day. And there's an abundance in His word for us to feed upon. "He leadeth me beside the still waters for refreshment." There's no place more peaceful for the sheep of God than to be found following in the will of God. That's the most peaceful place you can be, is in the will of God. That's indeed where His Spirit leads us. He leads us beside the still waters. The Spirit does not lead us into troubled waters. Do you believe that? Now, I'm not saying we don't have testing. I'm not saying we don't have trials. But He doesn't lead us into troubled waters, but He leads us out of them. Because He leads beside the still waters. One of the sweetest lessons I've learned in life is when you're faced with a major decision, doesn't have to be all that major, but a decision that you really give a lot of thought to and put a lot of prayer into. Usually you've got multiple choices, and you start praying at length about each of those choices. And what you're looking for is peace. If you're praying and you're still in turmoil, that may not be it. But when you can pray along a certain direction and you're finding peace, the Lord leads beside the still waters. It's been a blessing to me to think about it in that way. Troubled waters in life causes us to be anxious and fearful and doubting. But the still waters are where we find refreshment and peace. And may we be blessed to follow His will and have our souls refreshed each day. It's the Lord's answer to us for relieving the stresses of life. We need that. You know, it's no surprise to the Lord that we have all the things that stress us out today. He knew. I suspect life has always been stressful. We seem to, I suspect that we've tried to cram more into it nowadays, you know. We've got so many time-saving and labor-saving devices that we don't have any time left. Kind of been counterproductive there, doesn't seem like. All right, but the best stress reliever I know is to go to the Lord in prayer. Read His Word. Think about His precious promises. Think about His power. And think about His ability to handle your situation. You can't, but He can. He can. And He's pleased for us to ask Him for the help we need. He leads beside the still waters. Verse 3, He restoreth my soul. There's healing there. And we've already talked about some of this. Here we see the effect and blessing to be gained from contentedly feeding upon His Word and following the leadership or the leading of God's Spirit. And that's restoration of the soul. Feeding on His Word and following the leadership of His Spirit. That's how He restores our souls. And we need that every day. All right? If you're accustomed to getting that and you miss it, you really miss it, don't you? All right? The pressures of life can weigh us down and literally make us sick. Can't they? They sure can. I think we've all experienced that. And to the sheep of God, there's little in this world to help us with that problem. There's some things. Sometimes when you got problems like that, it's nice to get out in the nature. But again, that's what God put here for us. So in a sense, you're still going to Him. But for the most part, what we need is to go to Him. Go to His Word. Seek His leading of His Spirit. That's what we need. But in coming to the Lord, feeding upon His Word, and following His will, there's all we will ever need. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. For the most part, that's really another way of saying what He's already talking about, leading us beside still waters. But He says He leads me in the paths of righteousness. All right, so that leading, not only is it beside still waters as far as the peace and the contentment that we experience, but it's the best way. It's the best way. You're looking for which way to turn, seek His face, His counsel. It's the best way. So whenever we need to know which way to turn or what to do, remember His Word and His will. Again, the Spirit will never lead us astray, but will perfectly show us the right way, the good way, and how to walk therein to find peace with Him. I gave you a reference there that says much of what we just said. And this is the only guidance we need. And it's for His name's sake. For His name's sake. You know, I didn't put this in the notes, but just pause for a minute. If you happen to be looking, just imagine there's two ranches and side by side, a fence between them. And on one side, you've got sheep that's well fed and well cared for and plenty of water available to them and plenty of pasture. And the next field over, the pasture next to it, why, it's all stubble. No water. The sheep look poor and sickly. Would you blame the sheep? Or would you wonder about the shepherd? Well, if we're poor and sickly, is it the shepherd's fault? Now, I understand, you know, when in the natural realm, when we're talking about sheep that require a shepherd, you would look and wonder about the shepherd when the sheep are not faring well. But in the spiritual realm, we're going to have tribulation, we're going to have trials, we're going to have testing. But none of that can be laid, or any shortcoming that we experience, it's not because we don't have a good enough shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. All right? Now, for his sake, for his name's sake, that's purpose. What, for what purpose does he do all of these things? That he maketh lie down in green pastures and lead us beside the still waters and restores our soul. Why, for what purpose? For his name's sake. To enable us as his sheep to honor him and bring glory to his name. His sheep have the very best of care and provision. Our shepherd provides for his own. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I don't know how many of you have faced situations where you wondered if you were going to live. The valley of the shadow of death, whatever threat it might have been, whether it was disease or whether it was an enemy or whether it was a circumstance or whether it was an accident, whatever the case might be, at times we must go where that shadow is cast upon us. But what does he say? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's protection, isn't it? Now, granted, we have many cases in the Bible where God's people was in great fear. And I'm satisfied you've had experiences in life where you were in great fear. Because we don't always immediately cling to the Lord. But when we come to our senses, and when we remember the Lord, and when we remember what he has done already for us, then if something should happen, and we close our eyes in death here, remember how we started out tonight? He established that relationship. He's preserving us. We cannot be separated from him. And so if we die in this world, if we come to through tragedy or whatever, when that time comes, if we pass the scene of this life, we'll immediately awake in his presence. Now that's got to do something for you, to give you some strength, to calm some fears. None of us like to think about facing such a time as that. But the Lord's gone beyond that. He's already been there and came forth from the dead. And because he lives, and only because he lives, we shall live also. We can face that valley of the shadow of death. I'm not saying we can face it without any fears, but the more we can put our trust in the Lord, the more we can remember what He's done for us, the more we can remember His love for us, the more we can remember His provisions for us, the more we can remember the things of the Lord, how much He loves us and how He's taking care of us, the more fear it will drive out. Because John tells us that perfect love casteth out fear. That's what we need in a time when we're in the valley of the shadow of death. We need to remember the love of God. We need to feel the love of God. We need to understand what the love of God accomplished for us. We need to understand how secure we are in the love of God. And the more our love is strengthened in Him, the more fear it will cast out. I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Faithfulness. Is the Lord faithful? Aren't you glad He's more faithful to us than we are to Him? All right? He's absolutely faithful, by the way. And why? When it says, for Thou art with me. Why? Why will we fear no evil, for Thou art with me? Because if He's with us, whatever His will is for us will be good. Now you think about that. Whatever His will for us is it good for us? You know it must be, because He knows all things. He's not guessing. You go to the doctor, they're going to guess. Maybe there's a test that they can identify something, but they still call it practicing medicine. That conversation I had with my sister, they're still trying to figure out what's troubling her. Not so with the Lord. He knows everything. He knows it all. He knows everything about our need. And so if it can feel His presence, that He's with us, that can make all the difference in the world, can't it? If He's with us, then whatever His will is for us will be good. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Do you remember that one? There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, isn't that a comfort? That's His promise to you. We need to remember that. That's a good verse to memorize. It's long, but it's worth it. It's worth it. All right? And that verse shows the faithfulness of our shepherd. God is faithful. He'll not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Sometimes we don't look for that way of escape, but He's faithful. He says He'll give you a way. He'll make a way. All right? Let's trust Him for His promise. All right. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Comfort from a rod and a staff? The shepherd used these instruments to govern his sheep. Okay, whether by a rebuke or a gentle nudge, his sovereignty. You know, that shepherd kept them where He wanted them to be. His sovereignty comforts us. I suspect I've received more comfort from the sovereignty of God in these last couple of years than all the other 54 years of my life. Now, granted, a lot of those, some of those years, I didn't even know anything about the sovereignty of God. But isn't it comforting? I mean, when you see things so unsettled and so crazy in this world, isn't it comforting to say, Lord, I thank you that you're in control. And I thank you, Lord, that even the king's heart is in thine hand, and as the rivers of water thou dost turn it, whithersoever thou wilt. Whatever the Lord wants, he's able to bring it to pass. I tell you, that has been a tremendous comfort to me. And so the sovereignty of our God. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That gives us hope. Even with trouble before us. And we have trouble from time to time, don't we? Never know when it's going to pop up. Yet, he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Even with troubles before us, trusting in the Lord's help gives us hope and confidence to stay strong. You see, fear weakens us. Anxiety weakens us. And we're not as good of a witness when we're feeling like that, are we? We're not a good representative for our shepherd. You know, but when we're bold, when we're confident in the Lord, then we're representing our shepherd well. Thou anointest my head with oil. God often sent a prophet to anoint his chosen ones. Remember, he sent Samuel to anoint Saul, and then David. And I've thought about that a lot. Those experiences David had, and as he was running from Saul, and then all those years, about 15 years, wasn't it? 12 or 15 years, that David had to run from Saul because Saul wanted to kill David. And I'm sure that was awfully disparaging. I'm sure that David oftentimes was discouraged. But if he understood, and I believe he did, God had already ordained, anointed him to be the next king. So do you think that gave him some confidence that the Lord was going to be with him? I mean, the Lord doesn't do anything that, you know, if he wants to do something, nothing's going to keep him from it. So David was already anointed. Do you think there was some wisdom of God being shown in him sending Samuel over there to anoint David long before he was going to be king? God often sent a prophet to anoint his chosen ones and feeling his spirit with us. Lets us know we're one of his anointed. So that oil is representative of the Spirit. Are you born of the Spirit? Has he blessed you to feel his Spirit? You're one of his. He's watching after you. He's your shepherd. He's providing for you. You shall not want. He anointed my head with oil. If you've been led by the Spirit of God, you are one of His. Right? He anointed David literally with the oil. He anoints us spiritually by giving us His Spirit. And we're initially born of the Spirit, but haven't there been times when you felt His manifest presence? And it was like that oil running down? Yeah. He makes those special, gives us those special experiences from time to time. And they're precious. They're precious. My cup runneth over. Speaks of abundance, doesn't it? Isn't the Lord gracious? You know, in simple terms, the word gracious means that He gives more than is needed. You might even say He gives more than your cup can hold. That was David's experience when he was thinking about his, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Isn't it so wonderful when you can feel like the Lord is blessed so? I'm talking spiritually now. I mean, there are many times that we have natural blessings that we rejoice in, but I'm talking about the spiritual. My cup runneth over. I tell you, when you know, there's lots of times we know it in our head, but there are many times it becomes special when we can feel it in our heart. And when you can feel that the Lord has been merciful to you, when you can understand that what grace really is, you know, those seasons when the grace of God is especially sweet to us, that's when your cup's going to run over. Because when you start thinking about the grace of God, and when you start being blessed to feel it, I tell you, His grace is so wonderful. That's when you're apt to have your cup run over. When you're having an appreciation for God's grace, because you didn't deserve any of it, and yet He's so good to just give and give and keep giving. Like James 4 and 6 says, He giveth more grace. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. In other words, in one respect, it's like David was looking back over his life. And there was the goodness and mercy of God. And I would encourage you to do the same. Think about those times in your past when God has manifested His goodness and shown His mercy. I tell you, it'll do you good. Think about the times that God's been so good to you. Because what it will do will encourage you about today and about the future. Because God does not start loving and quit. He's better than that. We might do that, but He's better than that. And so He's blessed us in the past. If He's blessed us in the past, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, then there's hope for tomorrow, isn't there? And there's joy for today. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David could see in the past. He knew what it was like today. And he's looking forward to the future. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This is the happy lot and provisions available to God's sheep who look to Him and follow Him. And he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord dwell in the house of the Lord? That's a secure place, isn't it? In the house of the Lord. We don't deserve it, but that's what He's blessed us with. Could you find a safer place than the house of the Lord? If we feel the presence of the Lord, knowing His power, why, there's no better place to be. And He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What glorious blessings and provisions are ours because the Lord is our shepherd. How wonderfully He provides for us each day. And a lot of what we talked about tonight, we're talking about how He blesses each day as a shepherd watching over His sheep and leading them to green pastures and beside the still waters and restoring their soul. All those things that He provides for us here in this life. But He's done far more than that, hasn't He? Living on this side of Calvary, we are blessed to understand what Jesus has accomplished for us. And it's not just these natural blessings. Yet, no matter how wonderful are His provisions for us here and now, they're not worthy to be compared to the glory of the eternal abode and provisions God's sheep have awaiting them because of what He's already done for us. I mean, it's wonderful that we have the blessings now. But we can only imagine what we have awaiting us. And whatever you've been able to imagine, I can assure you, it's far better. It's beyond what we can imagine. And that's what Romans 8:18 says. For I reckon, I like that, don't you? I reckon. Now, that's not a slang expression like we would use reckon. Paul had added it all up. He'd done some reckoning. You know, like Jed Clampett? He'd done some reckoning. He'd added these things up, and this is the conclusion. And it's a faithful conclusion. Paul said at Romans 8:18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Here, oftentimes, there's suffering. There's groanings within us that Paul was talking about there in Romans 8. But all that's going to be over in heaven. Oh, I'm satisfied. It's a more glorious place than we can imagine physically. But the greatest glory of that place is that we will be made like unto Jesus. You know, it'd be one thing if He just took us out of this sin-cursed earth and put us in heaven, just like we are. But we'd still have a problem, wouldn't we? We'd still have this old me. But God's not going to allow that. He's going to change these vile bodies and fashion them like unto His glorious body. Then we'll be able to appreciate heaven to the fullest. That's what our shepherd has obtained for us. Oh, there's wonderful pastures, green pastures here and still waters, and He restores our soul now. But what we have awaiting us is beyond anything we can imagine. Let us feed, rest, and be secure in His care. May God bless you. I wish I could tell it like it is. Someone have a number you'd like to close with?
About 121.
121. Number 121, we announce an open door of the church. If there's one or more here that would like to come forward, confess your love for the Lord and take up your cross and follow him in baptism or any other way the gospel directs, that opportunity is...